The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome back to the ATL Podcast, a.k.a. the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Mappy Davis, where we talk to the famous, Atlanta famous, infamous, and just about anybody else I feel like talking to on today's program, DJ Roots Queen. We chatted over at Magic City. That's right, we're still doing some interviews over there at Magic City. I think it's been a couple of months since we had this chat, but you know how things go. Other interviews happen, blah, blah, blah. She is the founder of Rude Girl Radio and of Coalition's DJ Atlanta, or Coalition DJs Atlanta, my bad. She's the DJ for Zaytoven, and she's got a great story. She was introduced to me by the one and only Lola Cash, who I had on several months ago. So excited to bring this one to you. We sat down, had a nice little chat over there at Magic, and let's just bring it to you. DJ Roots Queen and I, away we go. So I would start with the easy one.
Okay.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
So.
And do you have another name you go by other than DJ Roots Queen? Do you want to say your real name or no?
Yeah, that's fine. People call me Roots. You know, it's like my name out the house, but my in the home name, or how you should say it, like my at home name, is Anna.
Okay. Do you have kids?
I do.
I was gonna say what your kids might call you, but your kids aren't gonna
mom.
Call you Anna.
They're gonna call me mom. Everybody like calls me Roots or Anna.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked up that moniker at like what age?
The Roots moniker?
Yeah.
Oh, I was about 28.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did the band The Roots exist by then? I can't remember if they were like.
Yeah. Yeah. They were around. I was actually given the name.
You were given the name?
Yeah. I didn't pick it.
So, like, in what, like, who, like, how specifically did that go?
Very specific. I was DJing for a band. It was a reggae band, and it was called Rocksteady at 8. They did ska, rocksteady, reggae, roots, stuff like that. Yeah.
Right.
And they used to be at this pub on Davis Island, which is like one of the cool areas of Tampa. It's like Channelside, Davis Island, Ybor City, you know.
Right.
That's like the Tampa culture.
I know Ybor.
Yeah.
I think I've drank a lot in Ybor.
I think everyone has.
Back in the day, yes.
Yeah, I think everyone has. You know, so, okay, so with that being said, I was DJing for this band, and I would DJ like between their intermissions, and the lead singer, he was actually like a Nigerian Rasta guy. And he said, everybody give it up for the Roots Queen. And I was like, ooh, that's my DJ name right there. I'm going to remember that. And I like literally changed my DJ name. I told him, I was like, you just gave me my DJ name.
What were you before that?
Manga. That was like my old DJ name.
Manga like?
Like M-A-N-G-A.
But like, what is that even?
Okay, so when I first started DJing, see, this is why I had to switch it all up and create a new brand.
By the way, I have to say one thing to love about Magic City. They're now dispersing the ashtrays. In
yeah.
one of the few places left in the world that you can smoke inside because they don't give a fuck.
No, they don't. Yeah.
What you smoke either.
You know, I used to spin all kinds of stuff. Like, EDM didn't really exist a lot then. So, like, drum and bass, you know, hip-hop, house, techno.
But these guys were reggae, you said.
And I did reggae too.
Right.
Yeah, but back in the day though, I didn't really do reggae like that. I was like more on like a, I guess it's called EDM now. And I was
now really I feel like it's been called that.
No, now it wasn't called EDM when I was like a kid, because I was like a kid at the time.
But I feel like EDM was like the 2000s.
Yeah.
The first rave culture.
I'm talking about the first rave culture.
Right.
In the 90s.
Right.
Yeah. So that first rave culture, you know, I was really into drum and bass, but I was really into like the drum and bass that sampled a lot of reggae music.
Right.
So basically, I had a short bob and like I had these bangs, and everybody said I looked like a Japanimation character.
Oh, right. Manga. Well, that's what I thought you meant when you said manga, but I was like, I didn't know where you were going with that.
Yeah, it's because everybody said I looked like a Japanimation character when I was.
Right. So, do you remember like what your parents listened to in the house?
Oh, my parents, my dad, he would listen to what I would listen to be honest with you, but I will get into what he would listen to. He would listen to Tupac with me, Bone Thugs and Harmony. He liked For the Love of Money. His favorite song by Tupac was Violent. He was like really listen to it with me, you know? And so I listened to music with him. And he taught me a lot about like The Doors, Jimi Hendrix. But he also liked fun bands. Like I would go with him to see all types of different acts before they were like really big in the 90s, you know?
Like who would come to town? This is in Tampa, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think like Candlestick. I don't know if you remember that. I don't know.
No.
The Spin Doctors.
He'd yes, like, the
okay.
Spin Doctors.
He liked Skinny Puppy, Spin Doctor. You know, I don't know. He just liked a lot of different like cool new bands. He really liked Metallica. It was the 90s, so he liked that. Right. He liked hip hop. He didn't really like country music that much.
Right. I haven't even heard the phrase the Spin Doctors in like so long.
I hear it at the gym. I don't know. Like I don't really care about having my headphones on at the gym, because honestly, my headphones smell like weed from being in the clubs. So I just like, I just listen to whatever. I listen to music all the time. Let me just like listen to, they play like Jane's Addiction in my gym.
Right. Well, like, so I remember, so my friend was like, went to UNC and like, he played like, oh, you got to hear this song. It's called Big Fat Funky Booty.
Okay.
And like hilarious to us at the time. Right. And then like, I want to say, maybe 6 months or a year later, like that song Two Princes came out, and then they kind of blew up for a second.
Yeah.
But that was it. It was like a one-hit wonder situation. That's why I'm saying I'm surprised. Like I never.
I'm into like 90s one-hit wonder stuff. I like that kind of stuff.
Chumbawamba?
Yeah. They play Chumbawamba at the gym too. Yeah, I do.
What's another one?
You know who else I actually talked to on Twitter once? They hit me up on Twitter.
Who?
Who was the ones that did the song from Shrek? Smash Mouth?
Smash Mouth. They're the biggest. They're the biggest.
Yeah,
All-star. Yeah, they're the biggest
ones.
They
hit me up to get in touch with Chip Fu from the Fushnikins.
And what happened?
I set them up. I don't know whatever happened from it or what they wanted.
They should get... Why did they decide to give you, like...
I don't know. That's what I always wonder. I'm like...
Yeah, so Smash Mouth, Bare Naked Ladies, these were like... Bare Naked Ladies had a few hits, but...
Yeah.
But yeah...
Okay, so with me being a DJ and everything, I'm really into music, and I mean all kind of music. Like, I actually love gigs that are kind of like weddings, especially, you know, weddings and stuff like that, and like dinners, because I can play like contemporary R&B. I can play like Anita Baker, you know, Atlantic Star.
Right.
You know, Dionne Warwick, things like that.
Do you want to hear my amazing impressions?
Whitney Houston.
Do you want to hear my amazing impressions? No, I cannot sing at all.
Okay.
So I'm one of those guys that like, I can't sing, but I don't try. I'm not one of those people who's like at a party like, woo, like, but alone in my car in the shower.
Yeah.
But then you get a song stuck in your head. And so my wife will be like, honey, you have to stop. Because I don't even realize I've been singing it like nonstop for however many hours. But what's an Anita Baker song they used to play? Like, from beginning to end, 365 days of the year.
Yeah,
like that?
I love her. Yeah, stuff like that. I just really like music. I like hard music. I like soft music. It just kind of depends on the mood and the vibe and like what we're doing, you know?
So for you, you're like, you'll take whatever gig. You don't care whether it's a club, a wedding, like what you're down for whatever.
Yeah, I do all types of gigs. I do a lot of corporate gigs too.
Right.
Mm.
So is the typical... I mean, is the typical corporate gig, like, so I've been in these conferences and like they'll have somebody like spinning, let's just say, mood music or like you're on stage, like, you know,
I'll do both.
So folks just reach out to you or your management or whatever, just through like IG and say, hey, we got this going on. And...
Well, actually, that's funny that you say that, because a lot of people find me from my website.
Okay.
Yeah. So when they're looking for a DJ like me, you know, I know how
what's like me.
A female.
Okay.
Okay. So I know they're looking for a female DJ. You know, I know how to make sure that they can find me on Google.
So if I type in best female DJs, I'm probably going to get you. Is that what you're saying?
I don't want to give up my keywords.
Oh, no. But dude, here's the thing. This is what, listen, I'm going to give you a great example of this, okay. Right? So I have a show called The Atlanta Podcast, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
If you Google The Atlanta Podcast.
That's great SEO right there.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going to find me. There's actually another show called The Atlanta Podcast. Some people have come on this show and have
been. Okay, fine. You told me yours. I'll tell you mine. Female DJ Atlanta.
Well, there you go. There you go. I mean, but listen, yeah. But here's the deal. It's not just that. You have to do some other things too. But the point is,
I don't want to talk about the things that I have.
No. But here's the thing though. I've seen there are many other Atlanta podcasts, but guess what they do? Mm-hmm. They get cute with their name.
Yeah.
And by getting cute, it's like cool, but no one will ever find you other than the people you tell. Yeah. So like there's a podcast, there's probably not even around anymore, but I remember I found one because I'm constantly seeing mm-hmm. how I'm doing, Googling. Mm-hmm. And I found one called like ATL Us, like Atlas. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so you're trying to be cute. It's the word Atlas. You've got the word us in there. And that's cool, but no one will ever fucking find you.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it's like doing that stuff that like makes common sense.
Yeah. And that's why certain websites are real expensive because it's like a name like that. I bet you AtlantaPodcast.com. What's going on with that? Website?
Well, that's the thing is me and these other guys and shout out to those guys.
You might could buy it though.
Well, I own the AtlantaPodcast.com.
Oh, you do? Okay, perfect.
That's what I'm saying. We started at the same time, but I immediately bought the name.
Okay.
Right. Then Instagram, it doesn't matter. You can make your Instagram anything. I could start one tomorrow called DJ.RootsQueen.
Yeah.
And you could report me as a fake or whatever, but like
IG might get verified. You should do that.
What's that?
I said, I'm trying to get verified. Maybe you should do that.
When you have fakes, they think you're verified.
I don't know.
They think you're legit. But it's smart, dude. Yeah. It's like you can be an artist and you can be a badass chick and blah, blah. But yeah, do some basic businesses and people don't think of that stuff, should.
It's very, very, very important. That's probably one of the most important things you can do. Dude, if I want a website and it's already taken or something like that, I'll see how much it is. I'll put a bid on it, you know, and buy the dang website. And so I own it and have it.
Right.
You know, like RudeGirlRadio.com, that's mine.
And Rude Girl.
Yes. And that's just basically the whole thing of my whole life. You know, my dad, he used to also take me to reggae concerts, things like that.
Right.
So I've always been into reggae from being around the culture, from being from Tampa, my whole life.
Do you know the Toasters sing a song about me?
Oh, yeah?
It's called Matt Davis, Special Agent.
Oh, really?
It's not about me, but it's my name.
Yeah, I got you. And I kind of like certain types of reggae and oldies when it comes to that. Not just with reggae too. I'm really a lot of oldies. Oh, I did Sweetie, her grandmother great grandmother turned 88 and I DJ'd her 88th birthday party and I was playing all Motown oldies and stuff too. So I've just always been into all kinds of music. It's a challenge.
But isn't that always the people that you want to be friends with? You know, the people who you don't the people who only listen to one shit or never to me then my friends have always
it'd be easier if they did sometimes because it's all these crates and playlists but it's okay.
But so you got this so with this Rude Girl Radio.
Yes.
It's not just Rasta based though.
That just comes from exactly what a Rude Girl is and it's basically I'm not British but I'm European and so it's basically a white girl in London that's really into ska and rocksteady music and I was really into the drum and bass which came from London so it just kind of came from that
Well Juju who is the Prince of Magic City the wings are named after him they're the Rude Boy Wings they're really good
okay. Oh, so do you want me to tell you about my funnest night in Magic City?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So this was the first time that DJ Esco DJed from when he got out of jail, from when he went to jail in Dubai. Do you remember that?
I do not. When was this? What year is this?
2000. He went to jail in 2014 and was there for a while until he finally got out and released. He just had weed on him in Dubai. And basically, it was a bunch of hard drives ended up coming up missing. And so they came back to Atlanta and recorded the 56 Nights and March Madness and all that type of stuff. So basically, it's his first night DJing since he got out of jail. This was a big deal. We were petitioning, you know, we were seriously. kind of like Brittany Griner type thing.
Right.
You know,
I was going to say, like, let this be a lesson if you're listening, folks. Double check your weed pens, your vapes, like double check before you get on the fucking plane. Yeah. Do not end up in a jail in Russia.
Yeah, exactly. And he talked about it and told his whole story. And it was just like very, we were very happy to have him back. So it was funny though, because he didn't have any new music. So he was just like playing what was on his computer that he had. And it was like, cool though. We didn't mind, but it was just like there were like other songs that were out that everybody was playing, you know. And it was DJ X-Rated's birthday.
Okay.
So I came with a couple friends to hang out with him, and DJ Boo was there. I was like in the section because he was a coalition DJ, I was a coalition DJ. We had like a bunch of people that we knew. My friend Robin.
So what is tell people what that means, coalition DJ?
Coalition DJ, we're basically the DJ crew in the ATL that breaks all the rappers, founded by DJ Nando. And we're actually sitting in Magic City where DJ Nando owned, pretty much, you know? So
I had X-Rated on the show, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We sat right here.
Okay. He's a cool guy.
He's hilarious. We were cracking up. Because, like, he's played football, and we talked about that. And he just, anyway.
Yeah, so.
He's a funny dude.
Okay, so we're standing in, like, the middle part and everything, and these people are throwing all of this money to the point to where it was, like, stacks of money hitting me in my head. And finally, one of the dancers on stage bends down and is like, "Are you going to pick up your money, girl?" And I was like, "I can pick this up." It was like $150. I shit you not.
That's so awesome.
That was a pretty good night.
So this has come up on the show before, but I'll say it again. When I first came in here, I'd never been, okay? I could not believe how small it was, because you imagine this place that's like magical, literally, and it's pretty small.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how does this even like work? And so the woman in charge, who's doesn't like to be talked about, was like, we have to come in here and like we have to move this out of the way. There's so much fucking money. It's behind there. It's over there. It's just piles. Like, people can't understand. I don't think people can understand the concept of, like, everybody jokes about, like, what making it rain means. But in this club, like, you know, guys come in with fucking bricks.
Yeah, I know. I've seen, who was it that I've seen? Cap One. I've seen Cap One throw, like, $80,000, like, right there one night.
I mean,
I spent a lot of money in here. I'm not going to lie.
That's great. I mean,
I don't know. I'm kind of embarrassed.
Why would you be embarrassed?
I'm just kidding. Because I don't know. I'm just kidding.
That's what people love about this place.
Yeah.
I may have to have you tell that story again. By the way, we'll film it for the IG.
Okay. I got you. Okay.
So, but let's talk about that, though, because you said a lot of people find you from your website.
Yeah.
Obviously, word of mouth is always like the strongest, because people are like, oh, you got to hire my girl. Like, that's
but referral.
In terms of, in terms of staying out there, how much time do you spend on IG, on Snap, on TikTok? Like, how do you approach that stuff?
I don't spend as much time on TikTok as some other people, because I'm just like, I'm like a G. I'm not going to be doing some corny like dance on TikTok or some skit where I'm lip syncing. I did one and it was friggin' from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, like as far back as I can remember. I've always wanted to be a gangster, and that was like the only one that I ever did. I'm just like not that type of chick. I'm like a Rue girl.
That's Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, whatever. It's good. I knew you were going to correct me. I just said the first thing that came out my mouth.
But let's just say, just for the record, for those who aren't listening, Goodfellas, some consider the greatest movie made of all time. Certainly, you got Godfather, Goodfellas, like neck and neck, certainly in that genre. Dirty Rotten Scoundrel is a comedy with Steve Martin and and what's his name? No, it's fine. Yeah, it's just funny that that's what you mentioned. I'm not making fun of you. I just think it's hilarious that that's what you said. But that's a cool quote to quote.
Yeah, so that was like the only one that I really did. So when it comes to viral content, it's not always fun. And I say that because, you know, I was at Rolling Loud this year and I was shooting BTS for Zaytoven's documentary.
Okay.
And so we got a lot of stuff of the Migos, and I had a shot of Takeoff smiling, and it was like one of the only ones. And basically when people were doing disgusting things that they do online, being vile and vulgar online, I decided to share the picture of his smile to just combat that. So that's the last thing that everybody sees, instead of just this terrible imagery that from the video.
Dude, like, you're making me cry, for real.
Yeah, and it ended up getting like millions of views and like thousands of people thanking me and following me. So to be honest with you, being genuine online and being a good person, those are the kind of things that people see. People follow me just off GP and are looking at all the other ways that I've supported artists and stuff like that, you know, and they like that. They like that. You know, they're like, ooh, who's next? you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean. And it's just unfortunate that it had to be a viral moment that had to be surrounding something like that. And it's like, honestly, the only other time I ever really went viral like that, Quavo put me in his story when we were DJing at Buckhead Saloon one night and I was playing his song. So I got like 75,000 views just off of that, just him putting me in his story. So these guys were like really freaking popular. And I guess like I'm just like grateful to have been a part of the journey and be able to be a part of that, because that's like magic right there that would rub off on other people, you know?
Right. Well, you know, one of the things I do with this show, whether it's an artist like yourself or somebody that owns a business, is like, these are people that I feel like, whether you live here or not, it's cool to get to know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like I had a friend say that to me once. He's like, oh, like you're like putting all these people on that, like, people who know, but mm-hmm. a lot of people, do you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll have somebody on that usually all my other guests know, but nobody outside of my guests know.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because
right.
of the circles that they travel
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
And so, and personally, this is cool for me. I like getting to know people. I saw your content. I was like, mm-hmm. she'd probably want to come on the show. Let's see. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that's what this is always about, is like, mm-hmm. I'm just in love with my town, basically.
I love Atlanta. I've lived here. Oh, I've lived here for 21 years.
And you would never leave.
No, I've tried to leave a couple times and I was like, it's whack here. I need to get back home. I miss my friends, you know? People I'm still friends with to this day, so, you know.
Where did you try to go?
I tried to go to New York, and then I went back to Florida. And I didn't go to New York, like, forever. I just, like, would go up there and stay and stuff like that and DJ gigs and stuff.
So for you, how busy do you keep your calendar?
My calendar is actually pretty busy, and I really like to fill my calendar with a lot of different things because there's business to do every day. Like, I've got videos to edit, people to talk to, social media stuff to handle, email blasts to send out, crates to make, dinner to cook.
Right.
So I'm, like, literally always busy, you know? It takes a lot. Just even being a woman and being a DJ, like, I'm probably going to spend 2 to 3 hours tomorrow getting my nails done.
Getting what?
My nails done.
Oh, what about the hair?
My hair appointment is next week. And then I get my bangs trimmed every 2 weeks.
So every 2 weeks, no matter what, you get them trimmed, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah. They start to get too long. So it's a lot. It's a lot. You know,
I got to say, that's an advantage of being, like, just where I'm at in life. Like, I just don't. This is me.
I can put on
a t-shirt and jeans every day. And
yeah, I can there's definitely places that I have to be to where I can't really go if my hair isn't done and my nails are looking crazy. So
right. But I meant as far as actual gigs. That's what I kind of meant. Calendar busy.
Yeah, you know, I'm really weird with gigs right now. Ever since COVID, I mean, everything was great before COVID when PPP and everything was going on. The gigs were really great. And, you know, just with inflation and the recession and things like that, there's been a lot of people a lot of gigs that I really had to turn down because it was just too much work for not the right amount of money. It wasn't the right situation. So, you know, you just got to, like, wait. And it's fun. And now that it's the holiday season, it's definitely picking up. But the last, like, I would say 2 weeks wasn't good, though. But before that, I was doing a lot of out-of-town shows. So club scene in Atlanta, I don't like it that much.
When you say clubs, you mean these kind of clubs or regular clubs?
No, I just mean, like, I don't really enjoy some of the clubs that I've had to DJ at with their toxic culture that they have, like, at the club. You
meaning,
know what I'm saying?
Meaning what?
Just, like, you know, saying that you're going to pay somebody off of a bottle that they sold and then disappearing at the end of the night. Things like that. It's usually got to do with, like, not being generous to people that are being generous with you.
But I feel like at this stage of the game,
waitresses is treating somebody that bought a section like crap, things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, you know.
But for your money, I feel like you're smart enough to, like, you don't get screwed on those kind of deals.
No,
though.
No. The last time, this is what really happened. Let me tell you what really happened. No, I don't. And to the point to where I had to go back and forth with a particular Midtown club about my cash. And basically, it took me like about a month to get everything all the way squared away. They were like trying to turn everything into direct deposit. And then they told me that they were going to take me off the bill Friday if I didn't apologize. And I'm a rude girl. I was like, apologize? Like, what kind of gaslighting shit is this? You are the one that did something to me. And I just made sure that you gave that shit to me. And it might not have felt good for you. I wasn't even that mean. Just naggy.
So I don't even, we don't have to talk about dollars and cents, but but I don't even know like how it works. Is it typically like X upfront plus door deal or plus the bar? Like how does it?
It depends. It depends on whether I'm a partner or not. So, you know, usually it just like really just kind of depends. You know,
so it's different everywhere.
It's definitely different everywhere. And then the other thing that I was gonna say about, oh yeah, and then they tried to book me for another club like in the area that they own, and I got all ready. The manager called me like after, like it was like 11:15. I'm like, I'm on the way. Great to see you. I'm DJing from 12 to 2, and then I get there, and then they're like, it's closed. And I had spent all this. I had just paid $30 parking.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're gonna book me again because I like demanded that they at least send me $100 for coming down there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that was crazy, but to them, I guess they don't really like people that do things like that. That are about their business. Like, I'm sorry.
So what happened between 12 and they closed?
I don't know what happened.
You still don't know?
No, I know. I don't know what happened. So I just made sure that I got my money out of it. You can't do that to a DJ like me. Not saying that you could do that to anybody, but I have been in a position in the past where I couldn't really act like that.
Right.
But I'm at the point to where, like, listen, I promoted this shit and that means something, you know? There's gonna people about to pull up and you guys are going to be closed.
Right.
So you're going to have to like do something for me for that.
Do you, being in kind of a crazy late night environment, do you worry about like safety?
Absolutely. I really don't even go out hardly at all. And because of safety right now, it's just really, really dangerous. You know, the next time that I'm going anywhere is where I'm DJing Friday night.
No, but that's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, four gigs to me.
Oh, well, you know, the last place that I DJed at, there was like security, like all around, standing all around me. Like there was like a lot of security in the club, like a lot. Like they had like bouncers to nowhere. Nobody could like walk up to the DJ booth or anything, you know. So, and I never go anywhere alone either.
Right.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting.
I always have representation with me when I go places. So.
Probably a good move.
Yeah, exactly.
when it comes to whether it's a corporate gig or a club gig, how much is an idea of this is how I feel this night is going to go, and how much is it just like I'm feeling the vibe and this is where we're going to go?
Well, with a club, it's like about 50. Nah, I'm going to say it's going to be about 70-30. You know,
70-30 which way?
Okay, so it's like basically I'll plan, but I'm going to only use about 30% of that plan, unless it's like a wedding or something that has like a specific time and on it.
Right. Know?
Yeah, because it just kind of depends. I will have a group of songs to like choose from, you know, and then decide with how everybody's feeling and everything.
Can you tell me an example of like a horrible gig?
A horrible gig?
Not about not getting paid, but I mean about like a crowd not feeling it, or just, you know, maybe it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. And again, you don't have to name specific things, but
I don't really know about a crowd not feeling it, but when you get to gigs and it's like more work than you realized, and you have to like move, or you know what I'm saying, like, oh, we need you to DJ in this place next, you know, and or it's just like several, yeah, moving. I don't really like moving.
Like, why would they have to move you?
Everybody's moving to this room, so instead of getting their shit wired into that room to where they have speakers in that room, I have to friggin' move. Or DJing more sections than, like, more time slots. That's why on my contract I have like specific time slots that I'm DJing, so they can't just like feel like, oh, we've got a brunch now too, you have to be here at 9.
Right.
People will try anything.
Right. No, I think again that's in most,
those are the things that I don't like.
I feel like that's no matter what business you're in, clients are always pushing back a little, like, can you just do this one thing? And it's like, no, that thing costs X.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's like an equation.
Well, but it's also just like sometimes they don't even mean harm by it, because to them it's like, oh, well, but again, it's just this slope of like, well, then you're doing this and this, and it's like, that's why contracts are like everything, even if it's just in an email, like, hey, this is what we said.
Yeah, exactly. So with clubs and stuff, I don't really do contracts like I do when I'm doing an event, because an event, it's just always more. You have to do a walkthrough, you know?
Right.
You have to get a deposit.
Right.
You know, at the club, you can just pay me at the end of the night. It's cool. You know, you don't have to, like, shake them down for a deposit every time, because it's not your first time working with them.
Right.
you know, you work with them all the time. So you're supposed to have rapport. And so that's the problem with the clubs is that sometimes that rapport heads south. And it's just like not the same situation anymore.
Right. Because you know what happens to bands too, right? Same thing with like a rock band or any kind of band. It's like they're promised X and then the end of the night they're like, yeah, we're not going to do that. Because they don't give a shit. They'll never see the band again. They don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why you just have to stand your ground and make sure that, I'm just saying that as a woman, you know, especially a woman in business, you have to be able to stand your ground and, you know, get your money, especially right now in this time.
But you've always just traveled in whatever circles?
Yeah.
Like absolutely. Socially and...
Yeah. Yeah. It was always like a really social thing. Like if I was somewhere, like these places that I go to, I'm like there to meet specific people and we're all there together and it's all... kind of like a togetherness thing. So wherever they tell me that we're popping at and showing up at and popping out at, that's where I pull up to.
But I'm saying like just growing up or whatever, you just always had
growing
like...
up. Yeah. I was going to juke joints and stuff in Florida when I was like really young, probably like 15.
Did you ask like to get your first turntable?
No, I bought my own turntables. And then until then, I'm going to be really honest. I just like DJed on my boyfriend's turntables.
What's wrong with that? Up.
Nothing. We had turntables in the house, so I had turntables to use.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And then I ended up buying my own in my 20s.
What happened to him? Do we know?
Yeah. Everything's good. You know, no hard feelings.
Okay. So I guess I'm getting to when you first decided to spin. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah. He's the one that had the turntables.
And you were like, oh, I want to try this.
Well, I had bought some before that, but I didn't like them. I had bought some Geminis, and I could DJ a little bit on those, but they were belt-driven. I didn't really like them. So, really, I didn't really feel like I was DJing then, but I don't really feel like I was really, like, DJing until I got on them Technique 1200s because they had that freaking torque, and they had, like, they just spin better. Like, you touch them, and everything stays the same. Like, the torque all stays the same.
Right. I guess I'm trying to get to, like, the first time. You were like, oh, this is something I want to do.
Well, really, the turntable wasn't really even the first time. Because when I was young, I would, like, I had, like, the double tape recorder, you know. And I would, like, make DJ mixes, and I would, like, talk into it. If my tapes broke, I would, like, take them apart. And I would, like... fix them and like tape them back together and be like, my tape works again. I used to take my grandfather's old tapes, like Harry Belafonte and stuff like that. And I used to put tape on the top so I could like tape over
them. And tape over them, yeah.
Yeah, I had a...
These kids today, they don't know anything about that.
They don't know. I had one of them boom boxes that you could speed up and slow down like each side.
Right.
So that was a big part of it. And we were already listening to different types of music outside of just like pop music. We were listening to Jam Pony and different stuff that was coming out of Florida and Outkast.
Right. And so that's what these people today don't understand is that
too like, far.
Because we would make mixtapes for each other.
Yeah.
Like you'd make one for either like your girlfriend or just a friend or play it at a party. And so then it wasn't even Spotify. What was that first one?
Napster?
Like, Napster. Napster was just like you downloaded songs, but nobody made lists. But the one before Spotify, that was the first one that like... You play one song and then it just gives you a bunch more. That was the first one.
Okay.
What the fuck was that called?
I don't remember.
People who are listening were yelling it in their cars right now. But that was like, oh, holy shit. Like, I just put in, like, the Beatles and now it's going to give me a bunch of other music kind of like that.
I like the Beatles. Cool. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, what's everybody going to do when they find out I like the Beatles?
You should, like, what would you...
I know.
Would you listen to, like, the older stuff? Or, like, what do you...
I like all of it, to be honest with you. I like the ones that I can listen to with my kids, and then...
Like Yellow Submarine?
No, like, like I Want to Hold Your Hand or something like that.
Right,
you
right.
Know? And then I think about the things that my dad played for me, like I Am the Walrus.
Right.
You know, like the trippy stuff.
Right.
And I could maybe play for that for him when it's older. I don't know. But my son really likes all music, so he'd probably be down for it.
Does he like, does he kind of know what mom does?
Yeah, he's a music producer.
How old is your kids?
12, yeah.
And he's a music producer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he produces like his own YouTube videos and makes his like own music.
Can you tell him to get my 13-year-old son to do a fucking thing besides play shit on his phone and watch One Punch videos? Okay. Do you know One Punch Man? Do you know that guy?
Yeah, I think he told me about that. I think he did.
So he's just like following what mommy does and like producing shit?
Well, his dad actually was a producer. I'm the DJ, but I do produce, but his dad is like basically a producer. So he when he was real little, you know, we got him a lot of different instruments, all the baby instruments and everything. So he's been like the same thing. And then I had one more thing that I wanted to tell you about that I used to do when I was, okay. one of the things that really like got me into DJing was, I don't know, I just used to be like really experimental with like sound equipment. Like I would take the telephone and I was like, I wonder if you, and I like got the telephone, the receiver wasn't working. So I got the telephone to like be on the sound system in the house. So like you could hear me and I could hear the person talk like on like the 415s and the big like surround sound that we had like in the living room.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So.
So you've just always just kind of been fascinating with how that stuff
yeah,
works.
That was like more like soldering, not really soldering, but that's like one of the things that they would say. It was more like when they say soldering, what that means is like it was sound man work that's like actually cutting the wires and twisting things up and building the actual components outside of just digital hardware.
So for you, looking down the road, do you think more about bigger gigs, more gigs, having more people work for you? Like what does like success down the line look like for you?
Eventually, I would like people to definitely work for me. But right now, everything where I'm going with my podcast, and I've got some big announcements that I'm making really soon. I know where I want to go. And one thing that I've learned in this big age is that it's important to see the line down the road, but don't get disappointed when it doesn't happen as fast as possible, because there's a lot of fucking people out here. And I don't want to say competition, because it's not really competition. It's just like we're just all out here. Everybody's just trying to get it and make it. And so it's just trying to see who you can get people to like your shit, you know, and pop off. So that's really just about that, is just learning to speak to people and by being authentic, and also figuring out what kind of problem you can fix for people. Those are the sort of things that can like help you like get a leg up out here in a place where it's like hard to be seen.
What like problem do you, what problem is DJ Roots Queen fixing?
Oh, okay. So I fix, one of the main things that I fix is I'm not gonna like ever get involved in the creativity of these young men. But one thing that I am gonna do is make sure that I'm there to give my opinion about their music, even if it has to be hard. Whether they just suck or they need to learn how to do this or learn how to do that or whatever type of variation that they need to do to switch it up. But especially like if the content is too bloody and violent, you got to be able to say something to them then. And they're really young and they don't like it when you do it. They'll get mad. I'd be like, oof, you know, so that's a big part of what I do. And I also help a lot of artists build their infrastructure. So all of the things that they need to do, I coach them and teach them how to do those things. So those are the problems that I solve, is I teach people how to be seen.
I think that's invaluable skill.
Yeah, it is. That's why I went back to get a marketing degree, because I found myself just being a DJ and promoting all of these wonderful, wonderful projects that these people are doing. Like, and a lot of these people, they're quote unquote famous or like had a one hit wonder. Some of these people are one hit wonders, you know? So with that being said, it's like they keep putting out these music and none of it goes. And you're like,
this is the show you and I should do. Okay. Instead of Flash. Okay. This is the reality show that we could pitch.
Okay.
Okay. You take these one hit wonders from mm-hmm. the 90s, maybe even some 80s.
Okay.
Right. You're like assigned
yeah.
to them.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like, we're going to get a new hit for you guys.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Okay.
And then, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, well, this is the song we've been tooling around with. And you mix it or you do whatever you do and see if you can get a real hit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also, it's about like the main thing is about like marketing the hit and creating the buzz around it. So that's why I got the marketing degree, was because I wanted to know how my voice could get heard. Because when my voice gets bigger, I can talk about shit that people need to be seeing that's good, or that is just somebody that's trying to test the market out. Because I mean, people will literally pay me just to like push them to see what the market thinks of them, and they'll be on my live doing the music, and people will tell you in these comments, especially on some of these YouTube pages that have the bigger
right.
followings. I mean, they're brutal in the comments. They tell you.
But see, that's why some successful people say don't read the comments.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing about it. Yeah, don't. But you're already successful. If you're already successful, don't read the comments. But if you're not successful, read the comments. You know, it'll help you learn to accept feedback from the people that are telling you these things nicely, because people could be very, very mean about it. So I think that's just a big problem that a lot of people have in general, especially with like self-development, is that they don't understand how to take feedback and they want to get like defensive about everything.
Right.
Or just completely deny it. And it's toxic behavior.
I concur. Mm-hmm. I think denial is rough. I mean, I have a very, what's the word? I have a very split relationship with social media because mm-hmm. before I did this show, I have another whole business that I do that was born out of social media. It would mm-hmm. not have existed if social didn't exist. That's how yeah. we spread podcasts and
that's amazing.
Everything, right? Mm-hmm. And I like to see what's cool out there, and I like to, like, I enjoy surfing social just like anybody, but yeah. I also see how fucking horrible and toxic it can be, and it's so painful.
Awful. It is painful. It's painful. I don't even hardly watch the news. Like, I just really just try to stick to cool content. You know, I follow a lot of people that post a lot of clips from, you know, a lot of self-development stuff, maybe a little bit of booty shaking. Do you follow any accounts like that? I follow the accounts. I'm not watching it to watch that. They just might post such that
as,
sometimes.
Such as?
You know, like any of the, anybody that has their own, like, independent social media profile that has a lot, has like medium traffic. It doesn't necessarily have to be Shade Room or anything like that, but they post booty shaking videos and stuff like that on right. there too. You know, anything. I can't even think of name one. I don't know if you know Montana White, for example. He's got his, like, you know, there'll be like Hood Famous TV or whatever and stuff. They repost videos and find content to post. And I always like to watch those because they'll be posting stuff from Breakfast Club, Shade Room, and other blogs and podcasts right. that have like key information. So I don't have to watch all this shit to figure out what's going on. That's why I have my co-host. That's what she does, is watches all the interviews. And
what's the name of this guy? I want to look it up real quick.
Who was I talking about again?
You just said it. Somebody that's influential, that's, but also does booty shaking.
Montana White. You can look him up.
Look it up right
is,
now.
Yeah, he does a lot of like strip club promo.
Montana.
He's at Platinum. He'd be at Onyx. He's kind of like a Smurf World type of guy. I don't know if you know Smurf World.
Montana, there's Montana Whitefish.
No, Montana White 100.
100.
Yeah, you know, you got to put the Hyundai on the end.
Blazing Hot 100.
I don't know. Blazing, that's a reggae station.
That can't be it. Is that it?
No, I don't know.
This must be a fake account because this only has like 32 followers.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what, I don't know. I just made up a name, really, Hood Famous TV.
Here we go. This is the right one.
Okay.
This is the right one, okay.
So that's been my friend for a really, really long time, and he always looked out for me. Anytime that I go to the strip club and bring an artist, he's always got...
Host of Atlanta Mix Show?
Yeah, he's always basically got the places and venues for me to bring artists to get their record played in strip clubs, because I move around a lot like that, too.
All right, well, why don't we record that. We'll shout him out. How about that?
Okay.
Whoa, that light's bright.
I know, it is bright. You might watch me out. Yeah, one of the people in the strip club industry that I really like to work with is Montana White. So he always gets me a lot of great shows for artists and places that they can get their record played in the Atlanta strip clubs. And it really makes a difference for the artists. So I fuck with Montana White.
Yeah!
He's going to be so happy.
Right? Well, it's interesting because, like everybody wants to be... Everybody wants to get shouted out or wants to be, and it's like you can do so much good just by taking like 5 seconds to do that, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe he follows me, maybe he doesn't after this. It'd be great mm-hmm. if he does, but it's like mm-hmm. I just know how it feels to be shouted out. It feels awesome.
Exactly.
So it's like, let's do that for each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah. Like whenever we take pictures at my podcast, I always talk about the people in the pictures and what it is that they do and that people should follow them.
Right.
This is our amazing executive producer.
Right.
This is our photographer and all
right.
these other people.
I'm always mm-hmm. repping somebody's shirt. And so mm-hmm. I always tag whoever's I'm wearing because it's like, and they appreciate it.
Yeah.
Whether they're a huge company or a small company, mm-hmm. they just like, oh, cool, you're wearing my shit.
Yeah. Yeah. People like that.
Like a lot more famous than people than me have worn this, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I don't really do the clothes so much anymore. I've moved to the realm where I can charge for that. So the kind of things that I like to do is see if I can get Drake or any of these rappers to like put me in their story. I'll be at the club. That's why I be dressing cute at the club, so I can play Renny Rucci, who is it? CeeLo, Lil Jon, Duke Deuce. Like a lot of these artists that are popping right now, like they'll see that I'm in the club spinning them and they'll repost it. You know, ATL Jacob, like all those people. Like, I was playing Super Gremlin at Cheetah, and I recorded it, and, you know, of course he's going to repost that.
Right. No, again, yeah. And it's like, it's not like their song hasn't been played a million times, but they're like,
that's
cool.
Point. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like they still appreciate that you're taking the moment to shout them out. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I'm playing this in the club right now because I genuinely like it.
Right.
I had a song in the world right now, you know? Especially if that means.
See, you know
I
what you're doing. You're a smart person.
Yeah.
I didn't even like clearly. I didn't even know you, but that's again why I do this. Is like I get to know people.
You know, we shot a Young Dolph video in the parking lot here.
We shoot on what?
We shot a Young Dolph video in the parking lot here and in the building across the street.
Okay, what's the building across the street?
It used to be Big Biz Media. It was an office that our company had, like a partner in our company had.
How many companies do you have right now?
Oh my gosh, we got Digital Dope Radio, Rugor Radio, R. Williams Enterprises, and that's like four or five different things. And then, I mean, we have people, that business partner, I saw him selling a Frenchie yesterday on his Instagram page.
Selling what?
A Frenchie, like a French Bulldog.
Oh.
You know, everybody just kind of does a little bit of everything. But yeah, we shot, wasn't Get Paid, it was Left the Bank off of Zaytoven's album. So yeah, we was in the parking lot right there.
Right. I was going to ask you something else that I saw here. Oh, this. I was going to swing by this, and then I ended up not making it.
Oh, yeah. That was cool. That was cool. It was, you know what was really cool about that? We created content around that. I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
Yeah. We actually created content around that and did some, like, videos in the store. So that's what we're doing for that company is, brand awareness.
Nice.
So helping them, you know, do cool things to create content.
Yeah. And that's why I said keep sending me because, I don't make a ton of stuff.
Yeah. See, look. Talks versatility of Jordans.
New York City, but
our friend from he's like the head of hip hop at Sirius XM.
Nice.
Hip Hop Nation, Shade 45.
Shade 45.
Yeah.
I do not stay out that late anymore. I go to bed early. But if there's daytime events, I'm like, maybe I'll swing
cool
by, and then I didn't make it.
And then you know the thing that people forget about that kind of stuff is that we also like. Paid to get that content created. Like, we flew him down here and made sure that he was taken care of. And I think that that's what people forget is that real friends pay each other.
Like that's a fucking bumper sticker.
You hear that? Real friends pay each other. Yeah. People should be paid for the services they offer, especially when they do something like create great content like that. It's like, this is a skilled craft, you know?
Right. Like, I wouldn't ask you to play my kid's party for free.
Right.
I'd be like, hey, what are your rates? Yeah. I'd love to have you come.
Yes.
Because exactly. I recognize your value.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what real friendship is that real friends definitely pay each other.
But I feel like nobody's saying it like that, like the way you just said it.
Yeah.
I feel like you just dropped something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want you to tell me your favorite Magic City story.
So my favorite Magic City story was this one night, all the ballers were in the building, and I was at my friend's birthday party, and we were in the birthday section, and all these people kept, like, throwing money at me, and I didn't know if they, like, were meaning to throw money at me, but it got very blatant to where it was, like, stacks of cash, like, hitting me in the head, and the dancer that was on stage bent down while she was twerking, you know how they do, and she was like, are you gonna pick up your money? And I was like, wait, I can pick this money up? And it was, like, $150, so this is the only strip club that's ever happened at. Like, normally
you get tipped out. It's not, you can have this.
You the one tipping. And if money hits you, it's, like, all for the dancers. I wasn't dancing. I was just here at a birthday party.
Right.
So I wasn't dressed.
So you have to, so the DJ has to tip out.
No, I wasn't DJing or anything.
You were just here.
Yeah, I was just here.
Well, that changes everything.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I was just here.
You were just here enjoying the show.
Yeah, I was here enjoying the show, but I was in the VIP section, you know, so I don't know, maybe I looked like famous or something. I'm not sure who they thought I was, but I really liked that they were throwing me all that money. And it was like a couple. It was like, I don't know.
You were clearly their type.
Maybe. They were, like, foreign, too. I was like, oh, Lord, what is happening? But nobody bothered me or anything, you know. But
all right. So I'm going to ask you the Atlanta favorites quiz.
Okay.
There are no wrong answers.
Okay.
What is your go-to order at Waffle House?
My go-to order at Waffle House is I'm going to go with a all-star breakfast.
Okay.
A pecan waffle. I'm going to give the waffle to my kid. And then I'm going to have my eggs over easy. I'm going to have my bread. I'll do wheat bread, even though I like the white bread. I'll try to be a little bit healthy, you know. So wheat bread toasted, of course, so I could dip it in the eggs. And then I like my hash browns, scattered, smothered, covered, and jalapenos. And hot, I guess.
Perfect. Yeah. What is your current favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
My favorite current place to eat in Atlanta. I'm going to go with Homegrown. It still is my favorite.
What if it's dinner time?
Oh, if it's dinner time, to be honest with you, I cook so much. So if I was going to go out to dinner and I could go anywhere I wanted, it would be Steak Market ATL. But I'm going to go with Chai Pani. It's like this little Indian spot in Decatur. It's so good. I try to eat very, very healthy.
Right.
I actually have a love-hate relationship with restaurants. I love the food there, but I don't like the oil that they cook. I don't use canola oil at all in my diet. So I'm very, very funny about things. That's why I don't really like to eat at Waffle House.
Okay.
Because of the how much butter and oil they use.
What are the shoes of today?
Oh, my shoes today are my bubblegum Air Force Ones. Not Air Force Ones, Jordans.
Okay.
Bubblegum Jordans.
Okay. Didn't know they made that color. Is that these designed for you?
No. Let me find it. See, look, there's a piece of bubblegum on the bottom.
Oh, look at that. Hang on. Let's see if that...
Can you see it?
All right, perfect.
I haven't been to yoga lately, so...
You haven't been what?
To yoga lately, so I'm not flexible to put my foot up there.
Okay, so make sure you're still...
It was my attempt at comedy.
Just make sure you're still in the shot there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was my attempt at comedy.
You're perfect. Okay. Publix or Kroger?
Your DeKalb Farmer's Market.
You can say whatever you want.
Okay.
There are no wrong answers.
That's what I just said. Your DeKalb Farmer's Market.
She's got it.
Gave away my secret. It's already packed enough.
Yes, that place is crowded. Finish the sentence. I take MARTA blank.
I take MARTA whenever I need to go to a Braves game, but I can't anymore because the Braves aren't downtown. So I used to take MARTA to go see the Braves, and I miss that.
Outcast or Goody Mob?
You know what? Outcast like is Goody Mob, though.
Yes and no. But if you had to pick one. But if you had to pick one.
I'm going to go with Goody Mob because they follow me on Instagram.
Well, that's...
Okay.
All right. We just saw them yesterday. They were at the Hawks game.
I know. I know. I saw your footage on that. I love Gib. That's a great guy.
Speaking of, like, people want to be shouted out, like, Cujo said, like, hey, support my new music. Don't just listen to the old stuff. So I put a thing up where I'm like, hey,
he's
go.
He's got a good new song. I liked his song. He performed it at New Music Monday. I liked it at the Coalition DJs. So artists, that's where they can come get heard.
Where at?
Know? It's at Stankonia. We do it every Monday at Stankonia.
What time? Can I make it? Is it too late?
We do it on Mondays.
At what time?
Supposed to start at 6.
Okay.
But I would say 7 to 10.
All right.
Supposed to be 6 to 9.
All right, but at least it's not 11 to 3. Like, I could possibly make that.
Yeah, it's definitely
at the world-famous Stankonia. And is there, like, a cover charge or just whoever makes it?
Yeah, $20 to get in, and it's $300 to perform.
Okay.
If you want to do a takeover, like, artists will come in and take over, and it'll be $1,000, and you can have all your branding up and do the whole Shazam, and, like, literally everybody, every single person that has ever been big in hip-hop comes through there.
So you might see somebody huge.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like executives and people that you need to know and network with, or at least see what they look like and be like, hi, or anything. Just putting yourself in the same room as people that inspire you is like always really important, even if you have to pay for it. And when I say that, like have to pay for it, I mean things like paying to go see, a speaker's convention where they have like, for example, Bill Gates. If Bill Gates was speaking, you know, they would, or Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, he charges for to see him speak, and people will pay the money and go see Gary Vaynerchuk.
Right.
And trust me, it's worth it. He's very inspiring.
I used to be big on Gary. I'm off the Gary train.
Oh, you're off of Gary? I met him a while back.
We can talk about it later.
Okay.
I also met him.
Oh,
I interviewed him twice.
Oh, wow.
And he was very generous with his time, so that's one of the reasons I do like him. But we'll talk about it later. It's too long to talk about.
Okay, I got you.
It's just basically, it got to be the same message over and over, though.
Oh,
like, you get into Gary for like a year, you've heard everything.
I get you, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so he needs to like expand more onto what he teaches.
Where did you talk to him?
Oh, you know, he interviewed Zaytoven. We went to his office in New York in Hudson Yard. We went to VaynerMedia.
Right.
I could say that would definitely be like the dream goal would be to like end up having that many people work for me. He's got like an entire room of people, and all they do is create content.
Do his content. I know.
It's insane. It's like 60 people.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So can I find that episode? Where is that?
I don't know. I'll have to send it to you. It would probably be better for me to send you the clip that I have of it, where I just got him talking for about a minute when I was in the office.
So, that's fine.
Of him giving some advice. Because I'm sure it's on my LinkedIn. That's probably where I would post that.
Okay. All right. No. I just, like I said, I got to talk to him when the Super Bowl was here. Mm-hmm. We talked for about 10 minutes. And then, and shout out D-Rock, by the way, his camera guy that follows him. He's the one who, I talked to him and he got me in. And then when I saw them again in Miami, he remembered me and then we got to talk again.
Yeah,
and so,
see, I think that's genuine that he remembered you, or maybe.
Well, D-Rock did. I don't know if Gary did or not.
You know what? It's hard. I don't remember a lot of people sometimes.
I don't either.
So.
And I meet far less people than Gary. But let me get back to my questions. What is the best show that you didn't perform in that you've ever seen in Atlanta?
The best show that I didn't perform in that I've ever seen.
I love how you do the whole complete sentence thing, like we're on a reality TV show. Is that what people said you should always do when you're being interviewed?
No,
do the complete sentence thing?
I've just been doing this for a long time.
Right.
Because
you don't have to with me, but I appreciate that you're doing it.
Yeah, I do that so that way I could just make sure. It gives me time to think. When I say the sentence again, it gives me time to think about what I'm about to say.
Right.
So
but it also is like people say to do that so then they can cut around it. But like I'm always fine, even if you don't say it. But
no, but you can. Yeah, but that's not why, though. I did it.
I think that's smart, though.
Yeah.
You're a smart lady.
So what was the question again? Tell me what the question was again.
The question was, okay. What's the best concert in Atlanta or show you've ever seen?
The best concert or show in Atlanta I've ever seen. It's been a long time in Atlanta, and I've seen a lot of great shows. I can say, honestly, the funnest time that I ever really had in Atlanta, it was not the same as, you know what, okay. The funnest time that I ever had the funnest time that I ever had at a show in Atlanta, it would depend on, like, time period. I have several ones for...
Go ahead, lay it on me.
I've seen Carl Cox at 11:50. That was pretty amazing.
Okay.
I saw Kruder and Dorfmeister at 11:50. That was pretty amazing. I saw DJ Jazzy Jeff at Django in 2006, and that was incredible. And then he brought in a reggae DJ from New York named Max Glazer, who I actually know now, and that was freaking tore it down. Felt like I was like in the 90s again. It was like incredible. It was very, very nostalgic. I've had so many great parties that I probably don't even remember. I've seen Young Dolph in Atlanta several times. I saw him at the Tabernacle. It was really, really great. Gucci Mane and Friends at the Fox Theater. That was amazing. To be honest with you, even Yo Gabba Gabba at the Fox Theater was amazing.
I love it. I love it.
Okay, so when we did Yo Gabba Gabba, DJ Lance Brock, he had Arrested Development perform. And rest in peace to Bismarcky. And Bismarcky was out there DJing. And if you had the real expensive ticket, which I couldn't get, it was like $1,000 or something, your kid could like get up on stage with Bismarcky.
So I'm so jealous. My kids, when we started watching that show, we were like, oh my God, this show's made for me.
Yeah.
Right? And then we took them, you know, as you do when they're young. I took them to a Sesame Street thing. When Yo Gabba Gabba happened, I actually had to go out of town for work. So my wife took Emma, my daughter.
To the Fox Theater?
I think it was the Fox. So that might have been the show you're talking about.
Yeah, it probably is.
My wife wouldn't have known who any of those people are.
Okay.
My wife would not have known who the Biz is.
Okay.
So that's hilarious. And she wouldn't remember enough if I asked, but that is amazing. That's definitely not ever been said. Yo Gabba Gabba has not been brought up yet in the Atlanta Favorites quiz, so that's amazing.
Yeah.
Love it. I'm going to show a little graphic of them right here.
It was pretty cool, I'm telling you. And I've seen a lot of great shows with a lot of great artists, like, oh my gosh, especially at places like Pal's Lounge, seeing Joy perform with the live band, seeing the Trap Jazz Band perform. There's so many like bands in Atlanta that put on great shows and great ensembles that aren't like the biggest that do play for big artists, you know, and play with big artists. So there's a lot of different venues. You know, you have Apache and Yin Yang, and that's where all the India REs and Preach and all of those type of people came from. So the Atlanta music scene is so diverse. That's why there's, I would have to say, like different shows for different times.
Did you ever work with Speaker Fox?
I did. We were best friends.
Really?
At a point in time in our lives. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of came up together. She was like, I had already been DJing for a while when she learned how to DJ, so I just like made sure she was on point and everything. I don't want to say I taught her, because she did a lot of the work and also other DJs were involved.
Right.
So I don't want to say that, but I was definitely like influential in like helping her like build what she built.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What about Daniel?
I love Daniel. He just changed his Instagram the other day. Have you seen it?
So I had dinner with Daniel.
Okay.
Listen to the Daniel episode, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't heard, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. He was on Daniel, aka Heroes and Villains, aka HXV. And I said, what did you do? I said, you just not want to be found? And he's like, not really. I just wanted to see if I could put something out just as an artist and just be anonymous. I'm like, that's fucking kind of amazing.
He would do something like that. But what's crazy is that I figured out who it was like right away.
How did you figure out who it was right away? Well, it's got kind of a picture, right?
It wasn't the picture. It was when I clicked on the link and I realized it was about techno.
Right.
And I love techno. And I was like, well, Daniel's on a big techno kick right now, so I think that this is Daniel.
But yeah, so that's the music that I'm talking about. That, yeah, to me, was what I grew up with.
Yeah. You know what?
What would you call that?
I was getting, to be honest with you, I was getting like, it's called experimental ambient. You know, I was getting like Aphex Twin type vibes.
Yeah.
I told you I like a lot of music.
So right.
I was getting like Aphex Twin type stuff. Aphex Twin, sorry, not twins. Not trying to put an S on everything. Like Kroger's.
Yeah. Walmart's.
Yes, exactly. And I did that.
We saw them up at the Kroger's.
Yeah.
And the final question is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Okay. Who should you have next on the Atlanta podcast show? Let me think about it.
She must be really thinking because she's playing with her hair. She hasn't done that the entire episode. She's deep in thought.
It's so many different people to try to choose from. And what type of people do you normally book for the show?
All types.
All types? Okay. I would probably say somebody with a really cool business or like a great restaurant or something like
that. But is there somebody you know?
Oh, like somebody that I know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and even if you don't know them, it could be okay. But because, yeah, we've had...
I know a lot of people. So you kind of put me on the spot with this one and I don't want to make anybody mad. I want to make sure that they really... I gotta know who really deserves it.
Okay.
I gotta think about who really deserves it.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that mean you're going to think now or you're going to get back to
me?
I'm
going to have to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That's an acceptable answer.
Okay.
And listen, yeah, like I said, I've had people recommend their best friend that nobody knows, and I've talked to them. I've had people recommend famous people. I've had people recommend, you know what I mean, like everything.
I would want it to be somebody that you would have a cool conversation with and somebody that, like, honestly, like, really deserves it.
So okay.
First and foremost, like, really deserves it. Something that put a lot of work in to create something wonderful for the world. And more people need to hear about it. Like, I'm thinking, like, maybe somebody that has something techie or anything.
All right. And where can people find all things DJ Roots Queen?
You can just Google me at DJ Roots Queen and all of my social medias and all of my websites and everything will pop up.
That's it? That's all you're going to say?
Mm-hmm.
Not Rude Girl?
Oh, yeah. Well, when you Google DJ Roots Queen, Rude Girl Radio pops up. It all pops up.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Rude Girl Radio Volume 4 is out now.
And Stankonia, is it every Monday?
Stankonia is every Monday. New Music Monday.
I'm coming by.
DJs. I can hardly say new music. I won't sound like I'm from Memphis. New Music Monday. New Music Mondays. Okay.
There we go.
New Music Mondays, Coalition DJs. All right. Stankonia, ATL.
If you wait a few more minutes, we can order some wings. You want some wings?
No.
I don't.
Oh, she doesn't want to cook anything with oil or canola oil in it. No. I can appreciate that.
Yeah. I love wings, and I love Magic City's wings, so I just make my own air-fried version at home.
I mean, you can't really make the exact same thing.
They're not the exact same thing, but they taste pretty good. My friend, actually, that's who I want you to interview. I want you to interview, when he comes to town, I want you to interview DiBiase.
Okay.
Because he was a big DJ, he was Big Crit's DJ, and he created this Atlanta lemon pepper and Atlanta lemon pepper hot wing seasoning.
His own,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
And his marketing is great. I actually, you know, given him a couple ideas here and there. Like, I was like, oh, you know what? You need to do an email blast and you need to make sure that you send recipes out. You know, things like that. Have a blog.
All right. We'll talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
See you later.
Bye.
And there you have it. There she was. There she went. DJ Roots Queen. Go follow her on IG. Go see what she's up to. Go find out where you can catch her latest stuff. She's over on Sirius Radio. She's over at Lemon Butter Seafood. She's all over the place. Go check her out, DJ Roots Queen. Thank you so much for checking out this episode. Please, as I always say, would love a review, would love a comment. But the best thing you can do is tell a friend and let's grow this thing together. So thank you again so, so much for listening. Love you. Miss you. Mean it. I have got to.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.